The conversation continues. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600.
Welcome back to the show, 203-333-9422, your chance to call in if you like and chat with our guest. Senator Richard Blumenthal joins us now. He has been outspoken on the failures of Eversource in the wake of Isaias, and who knows what storms may come, including a Category 4 hurricane that is appearing to bear down on Texas and Louisiana, but believe it or not, is going to hit us in about 5 days, at least the tail end of it. And even just the other night, 16,000 people out of power because of a substation fire. But last night, did you see the winds that were howling in around the Westport Wilton area? It seemed like in 15 minutes, another hundreds of trees seem to be down fast. So here we are. Senator Blumenthal was part of the hearing at the PURA, Public Utility Regulatory Authority hearing on Monday, and he has floated the idea of breaking apart Eversource to build it back again into something that will work better for us as users, monopoly users of our utility. Senator Blumenthal, welcome to the show today, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa, and thanks for being out there with the community in Westport and Fairfield County. I've seen you at a number of gatherings, and I know that you've been following this issue closely and helping people.
Well, so here, yeah, definitely. I'm really on this because I just think it's unconscionable. The current system that awarded five people at the top, I was told by, I think it was Representative Himes on the show earlier this week, that the top person at Eversource got paid $19 million last year. I can't fathom these numbers for a public utility, okay? The guy is not Elon Musk. He didn't invent a new Tesla. I mean, he took over an existing company with a monopoly situation and guaranteed profit. How is it possible that somebody who does a job like that should be able to have so much money, particularly when the service has not been what it should be? You have to explain that to me. I'm a capitalist as well as anybody else, Senator Blumenthal. I believe in aspirational richness. I'm nobody's, I'm not flagging poverty for the sake of poverty, but I don't get it. I'm missing something. I don't get it.
The system is missing something, Lisa, and you're absolutely right to call attention to this glaring defect. Number one, guaranteed rates of return for a utility, regardless of performance, so that at the end of that hearing by the Public Utility Regulatory Authority, the company disclosed that it has made $124 million more than it projected. So it's kind of heads, they win, tails, we lose. Even when they are making more than they projected, they want to raise rates, and they are providing $20 million to their CEO after a storm performance that certainly rates as a new low for a public utility in terms of restoring power. So I think we need to think big and think bold. Thinking big may mean thinking about smaller utilities that are smarter and more responsive. And I have in mind, for example, the Norwalk utility or Groton or Norwich and Wallingford that are all municipally owned. Norwich has rates that are 24% lower than Eversource, and it repaired storm damage in 2 days, not 8 days. So there is a lesson here in perhaps smaller, more responsive utilities. Remember that Eversource resulted from a merger where the Boston-based NSTAR company, in effect, absorbed Northeast Utilities. So the leadership of the company is now based in Boston, very far from Fairfield County, obviously. And I think we need to think about, number one, linking profits to performance, putting people ahead of profits, and number two, breaking up the company, potentially breaking it up into regional, like Fairfield County-based companies with perhaps mm-hmm. public ownership, so that it really yep. is a public utility.
Yeah, I definitely agree with, we have to explore that. Governor Lamont is initially pushing back, and he says performance-based incentives are the way to go versus a de-restructuring of this. Tell me why he sees it his way and why you see it your way.
I agree with him, actually, that profits should be linked to performance. I don't think there should be a guaranteed rate of return, regardless of how failing the company does. I think that CEO compensation also should be linked to performance. And I think the two ideas are perfectly compatible because the regulation definitely needs to be toughened. Even if the company is broken up, it would still need to be regulated if it's going to continue to be privately owned. So I think that his idea is definitely, absolutely right. I've been advocating it for some time. And, breaking up the company is something that should be considered. We need to do what is, in the long run, best for consumers. But I think there is very little daylight between my thinking and his, although you're absolutely right. He does not think that Eversource should be broken up. I think it should be considered.
We're chatting with Senator Richard Blumenthal, 203-333-9422. And number one, who would have the power? Is it coming from the federal or is it come from the Connecticut state legislature? You know, logistically, who would vote on this kind of thing? Who has the power to do it?
Great question. Eversource is regulated by the entity we've been discussing, the Public Utility Regulatory Authority. It is an independent body, supposedly, although its members are appointed by the governor, and it is supposed to regulate the rates and make sure that service is adequate. But the laws give it less power than it needs, so that's the reason why we need to link performance to its rate of return or profit. And what we've seen in these attempts to raise rates, absolutely abhorrent and unacceptable, is a weakness in the regulatory structure. So my first recommendation to PURA in my testimony was make refunds, roll back the rate increases, provide reimbursement for losses. That's a short-term solution. The larger solution that involves changing the laws would be done by the legislature because it has to give the regulators the power they need to link performance to profits and also executive compensation, or even possibly break up the company. So it's new laws in the state legislature ultimately that are needed.
Yeah, I mean, we're chatting with Senator Richard Blumenthal, 203-333-9422. And you know they control the water now, too, and our water bills have gone up incredibly. I said that to you on your last appearance here on this show. I don't think I was able to follow up yet with a water bill because I'm busy planning for our daughter's wedding on Sunday. I'm a little bit scattered. But I will get that to you because Bill he cannot believe what's gone on with Aquarian water bills, too. And they just took over in 2017. So it always takes them a while whenever there's a new company. They settle in and they make you think nothing will change for about a year or two or so. And then they start to up their own increases. And now that we've learned that they made all this money, that a lot of it siphoned off, in other words, to Connecticut taxpayers, when even though the Millstone Nuclear Plant was benefiting people other than Connecticut taxpayers, it may very well be that the water money that they're taking in is also going to their lovely, you know, stock increases or stock performance or whatever it's going to, and may not be put back into our water system. I really think they deserve scrutiny for that, too.
The water companies have been consolidated so that there are a few of them. They have become bigger, which is also the trend among utilities and many other industries. And the point here is that as they become bigger, they continue to have monopolies, and strong, effective regulation is needed to protect consumers in the absence of competition. Remember about electricity and water and natural gas, unlike any other product. If you don't like it or the price is too high, you go down the block and you buy it from someone else. In this instance, there are no choices. There's only really one source of the power because Eversource has a monopoly over the transmission lines. And the federal government also has a role to play here because the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, known as FERC, has a regulatory function too. It is so immensely complicated, very difficult for consumers to understand. We need to simplify it, strengthen the regulation, and can make it more responsive to consumers. So no more tinkering. We need bold and big action.
And how do you lead that from Washington, D.C., Senator Blumenthal? In other words, how do we keep the heat on, so to speak, on Eversource, you know, so that we're doing something to accomplish something before the next storm?
The next storm is probably only weeks away. We're in the midst of the hurricane season. Laura is on the verge of hitting the Gulf and then may veer back to the east, unlikely to cause the kind of storm that we saw most recently. But we know that the new normal here are the mega storms. They're coming not just every 100 years, but much more frequently. So we need to act promptly. I hope the Connecticut State Legislature will hear from the CEO of Eversource, Jim Judge, in August, on August 27th, and will move promptly to reforming the system.
By the way, Senator Blumenthal, as long as I've got you on, and I know, of course, obviously you're a spokesperson for the Democratic Party and you are a Democratic senator, I was just wondering if you wanted to hear a little bit of insight from my audience about how the RNC is doing versus the DNC. We had an independent caller, a caller who self-identified as an independent voter, call to say that when I voted her, she was going to be voting on policy versus person, and she felt that thus far the Republicans had made a more effective argument in the RNC versus the DNC, specifically because, Senator Blumenthal, it's very interesting, thought you'd want to hear this, because she felt that the Democrats ignored the issue of violent crime in the cities, and this bothered her so much. Whereas the Republicans, she felt, addressed it head on, that she felt that that, combined with Mayor de Blasio and his recent statement about how people who, it was, did you hear what he said yesterday, Senator Blumenthal? I had just heard from the caller, I didn't even know, it escaped my notice, that Mayor de Blasio basically, when asked about why he was allowing schools to open but not indoor restaurants for all of New York City for the winter, he said, well, you know, people who go into indoor restaurants have more resources, whereas the kids have to go to school, basically implying you had to be rich to eat inside a restaurant. And it's sort of, it was sort of a ridiculous remark. But anyway, I just wondered what you were thinking about the RNC versus the DNC's presentation thus far. What do you think?
You know, I think what came across in the Democratic Convention was a sense of caring and empathy for people who have endured hardship and heartbreak in this pandemic, 180,000 deaths, and it's still raging. The president in the RNC convention would like us to believe, as Larry Kudlow said, that it's over. You know, use your eyes. Listen with your ears. This economic crisis is raging all around us. People have lost jobs. Small businesses are struggling to survive. Crime is a problem. We need to do more about crime. No question about it. I'm a former prosecutor, United States attorney for 4.5 years, chief federal prosecutor in Connecticut, and then attorney general for 20 years. Law enforcement is my life. I think we need to increase our investment in the tools and techniques that we use to combat crime, put the right people in prison, the dangerous people, truly violent people belong in prison. But right now, the threat to our nation is the coronavirus and the economic crisis. We are literally on the verge of a humanitarian crisis with unemployment insurance ending, a paycheck protection program, a lifeline for small business is over. Kids are going back to school. We need to make the schools safe in areas where, in fact, school is beginning. So aid to state and local governments is essential. Hazardous duty pay for our frontline workers, more testing and personal protective equipment. You know, we are still in crisis as a nation. And the president wants to blame everyone but himself and take credit for things that haven't happened, like the end of the crisis. So I hope that our country faces reality and simply looks beyond the convention to what's really happening in their lives, on the ground, in our schools, workplaces, hospitals. And I hope that most importantly, we come together in Washington and adopt another relief package, a stimulus package that will help to reopen our economy, attack this virus and end its spread, and deal with the humanitarian crisis that is looming ahead of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Richard Blumenthal, on the Lisa Wexler Show today. I thank you, as always, for being so accessible and willing to talk and engage with us. And keep up the fight on Eversource. We're going to be paying a lot of close attention to this. Thank you for letting us know about the next hearing that is coming up. I personally am taking a great interest in what happens with this company because, you know, I just don't want this to be business as usual. It's not about 8 days of no power. I think it's about a systemic problem that will not be addressed unless there are systemic solutions. So I thank you for keeping an eye on it.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Thanks for having me, and thanks for all your great work. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Senator Richard Blumenthal. We'll be right back, the Lisa Wexler Show, with some news you may have missed. Stay tuned.